we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud.
Yeah.
This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots.
Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm chatting with Misty Law Fleury, a Council Rock mom and school normalcy advocate who pushed for change within her school district by working right from the grassroots, including leading the group Council Rock Parents for Back to School Planning. Welcome, Misty. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
Yeah, I want to start with something I just found out right before we got to recording. You got on Facebook just because of COVID,
mm-hmm.
something I can relate to very mm-hmm. dearly. So what's the Facebook story like for you then? You start presumably because you want to find people who are seeking normal life.
Correct.
You eventually wind up being, you know, an admin, a leader of multiple Facebook groups and kind of managing a lot of change from Facebook. What's that story like?
Yeah, so I remember specifically it was May of 2020, and I'd really started to question things that I was seeing on television. I was all in for flattening the curve, whatever we have to do. And then the story kept going on and on. I had two daughters in high school that were very emotionally affected by what was going on. And I was really searching for an outlet for other parents who felt the same way as I did. Mm. So I went to Facebook and I decided to join Facebook on May 8th. And I remember specifically, because I believe it was May 10th, I looked up reopen. I just Googled reopen. And I didn't know what words to even look for. And I found Reopen Bucks. And
oh, nice.
I think I also found Reopen PA and Reopen Montco or something then. But Reopen Bucks, I was like, oh yeah, this is it. I've got to join this right away. And just so happened, like right at that time that I was joining, you were doing a Facebook Live in my Newtown Acme.
Oh, no
where
kidding.
I live. Yeah, and I'm like, oh my goodness, there he is.
That place was one of the worst.
It was absolutely the worst. Oh. Yeah, the security there was really, really strict, and people were not shopping at Acme because of it. But there you were, and I was like, oh, I think I can get behind someone who is trying to do and try to bring some normalcy back to our lives. So that's where it all started for me.
Hmm. And you, at that time, you have your oldest was in graduating senior
yes,
at that
class
point.
Of 2020.
So that, I mean, you're going through the experience of being a parent, watching your kid not have access to all of those major milestones that happen in senior year, right?
Correct. And I needed to find other parents who felt the same way. Not everybody felt the same way about COVID then, that people were starting to draw a line about wanting to move forward back into normalcy or you know, stay. But we had mask mandates, we had the standards we did, and we needed to figure out, you know, what was best. And so my daughter was class of 2020, and I watched her emotionally, mentally, physically just really break down as these seniors who, you know, one day they're in school and the next day they never get to go back to high school. They never get to go back to their classrooms. They never get to go back and say hi to their teachers. They never get to go back to their lockers until right before school ended. I mean, their whole world was upended and now they're stuck at home. My younger daughter was a junior, class of 2021. So we knew that we didn't know how long this was going to last, but
probably never could have imagined that she was going to go through the same things at that time.
I mean, we figured summer, you know, we'll
be
back for summer at this point. And so we even thought there would be graduation because this was March. Mm. We figured there'll be graduation in June. This will be done.
It's one of the hardest parts of the story to retell through the podcast is it almost feels like just thinking about a whole different world you almost can't connect to anymore. We really had no idea, but it felt like we were talking about like days or weeks, mm-hmm. not here we are. It's like two and a half years later and we're doing this.
Yeah.
It's
and
wild.
Circle back. Cause so today was the big community car parade that the class of 2020 started because they didn't get a graduation or anything. So Council Rock, at least I can speak for North. They had a huge parade, fire trucks, American flags. They took their senior pictures and made this mural of everything. All board members came and went all around the high school. The kids drove around. They just cried. They hadn't been normal, you know, in 2 months and 3 months when this was happening. And so just to get to have something towards graduation was so major for them. And that same parade happened, the third annual parade that the class of 2020 started, happened today with Council Rock North.
Oh, that's cool. So they're keeping it going. Mm-hmm, even
I love it.
That's very cool.
Third annual, shut the streets down. The kids go up and down State Street and all around the high school, and the teachers are there. It's just so special. And to know that the class of 2020 got to start that was because a lot of us parents got involved on Facebook and found each other and started working towards what was best for the kids, to give them something. I mean, I remember when we came out of that first parade, we went around the high school and then met in the parking lot of the middle school. Now, nobody was at the middle school. Nobody was there. And people just standing there, and we hadn't been with other people for 2.5 months. I mean, people were standing there hugging each other, crying. It was emotional. So, you know, that was a lot of the impetus that got me going to try to have something normal for my oldest daughter at that point.
Yeah, so that would then, pretty quickly, it converts into very strong advocacy. You are, you know, I think through all the difference in Bucks County and kind of myself having always tried to like pull out and look at Bucks County as a whole, there's like key figures in each district where you can point to and be like, that person, that they were like in a lot of cases my go-to. Like I would come to you with some Council Rock thing, or you would come to me, and that's kind of how it worked. How did it happen then that you... you know, translated all of that into a Facebook group, decided to start that whole thing. It was over the summer, right? Summer of 2020?
Correct. So this was May, June now. And then my daughter graduates. And, you know, right after that, now I have a incoming senior, class of 2021. Mm-hmm. And we all thought, okay, they'll be back in school, right?
Course,
they'll be back in school August and September. Masks will probably be gone. You know, this was, you know, before we fully understood the red, yellow, green, blue, pink, whatever all the phases
were coming
at us. Indoor
mask mandate wouldn't even hit until like July.
Correct.
July 1st.
Correct. And so like we couldn't even gather, if you can remember back in June, we couldn't even gather in groups of 20, 25. That was even still too much, I believe, if we're really thinking that. And so what happened is that another mom in the community started a Facebook page, because clearly I didn't know what I was doing. And so we... two other mothers, three of us total, started a Facebook page, the one you mentioned, the Council Rock Parents Back to School Planning, because we wanted to have a united voice with all these parents from all over the place that were coming, that were texting, that were we were finding each other to say, hey, how can we be unified, right? How can we approach the board with our concerns? How can we talk about what our kids need and what do we need to do around that? So literally the genesis of that was just getting off of chats, you know, or Messenger with other parents and having one place for us to start talking about what that looked like, with the goal around parents choosing to be able to decide what was right for their children.
So when you mentioned the board, and the board would become such a key part of the story, not just in terms of obviously like what would happen. And so there are like heroes on the board in Council Rock, heroes in my opinion, but your advocacy obviously has to focus there, the difference you're trying to make to the opinions and feelings of people on the board, right? So at that time, are you plugged in? Are you like, you know, all about the Council Rock board? Because I feel like why I'm asking is I know that today, you know, you with your board and other people with their school boards, you could probably write a full-blown like psychological dossier on every board member because you've like, we're in now, we're involved. But at that time, what was your background on, you know, the school, the district, the board?
Literally, we had such a strong experience with Council Rock with our girls through the years. I never really was involved. I wish I would have been, but it started with the senior class of 2020, what they could do and not do for their graduation. And then we realized this wasn't going to end. So I laughed earlier when you asked about what the relationship was with the board. I mean, there was none. Like a lot of us didn't even know. We'd never been to board meetings. If we weren't involved at that point with redistricting, that was the big, you know, topic before COVID hit. So that's when I just started to go on crsd.org and say, okay, who are these board members? Oh, we have 9 board members. Oh, who is in my district, right? I had known Krista Marcel because she had come to my house and door knocked for her election to school board. So I'd met her before, but I had only ever worked with one other school board member, Andy Block. He was helpful towards getting the parade and everything going around the school and getting a virtual graduation for the class of 2020. But, you know, up until that, nobody really had done a lot of interaction with the board outside of redistricting.
Yeah, come a long way on that front. Now it's like board members are kind of, well, for me, I've always thought about it from a Bucks County perspective as a whole, that the best way to define the communities is the school districts. Even when you're talking about massive size differences, it's like your kids go to school together, you go and pick them up and you go to sports activities together. Like that's where you draw the lines of community. The school board leaders in the district pretty much represent like the height of those community leaders, then more so than township supervisors or whatever, even reps, I would say, to a large degree, because now you watch everything they do and they're so scrutinized and these board meetings go like 5 hours at a time. It's kind of gotten insane.
Yeah, it wasn't like that back then, right? And a lot of them had kids in the school, so they really knew what was going on. And we as parents realized early on we had to work with the board.
Right.
You know, not to manipulate them in any way. We needed to have our voice heard, and that was our outlet, was through the board, not necessarily through the administration, because there are many things we weren't agreeing with the administration on back then. And we quickly, as a group of parents, started canvassing our school board members to find out where they stood, what they thought, could they work with certain things or not? And that's where it all began.
Yeah. It's like the genesis of just such a good story. In my opinion, Council Rock is such a good story because it was always like Central Bucks and Council Rock, boom, boom. They were like the 1-2 punch of Bucks County. And then you probably have Penridge, like a kind of distant third, and everyone else is like miles behind those top three. But as those leaders, I mean, it wasn't that way at the beginning. Nobody knew. Mm-mm. But over time, you know, largely due to the advocacy of, you know, people like you, stuff that you did, Council Rock really became this amazing place with, you know, fighters on the board. So walk me through how that happens. Okay. We've so far talked through, you get this group going, you're using the group to, you know, there's all kinds of different advocacy going on. You know, you held local rallies and get togethers, done a lot with the board, all these different things. What's the story like it's hard for me because I look back to fall of 2020 and I'm just thinking like all schools were kind of hopeless. How did that all switch?
Well, it wouldn't have flipped in spring of 2021 if we hadn't have started in the summer of 2020. And so that's when, you know, they wouldn't even pull 100 people at a school board meeting in person, obviously. So now we're at the summer and it goes virtual. Everything's virtual. You can't speak at a meeting. The first school board meeting they had, someone hacked into the Zoom they were having with comments, because they allowed comments, and were saying all kinds of perverted things. So they had to take that off. So no longer could we provide comments. We'd have to mail in, and we'd have to email our public comment in, and nobody even hardly knew what public comment was, you know, 3 minutes, but that's when it was email. So they'd read them one email for 10 minutes instead of getting out for 3 minutes. So, you know, 30 minutes before, 30 minutes after is the standard for public comment. So people were just really learning, but then you're pulling 2,000, 2,500 people, and that's per house, like that's households. So how many people, there could be 5,000, 6,000 parents, you know, listening in on these school board meetings that just started to get really intense, really fast. And, you know, we had David Damsker, Dr. Damsker, the head of our Department of Health, at meetings early on. And I remember in June, and he'd come on and said he didn't have such a strict stance on mask wearing for the fall, as well as social distancing. And so a lot of parents were like, okay, really? Okay, this is good. And then by July, he was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
I can't speak to, was he never invited again? I just know that he was off the scene and not talking about our health and safety plan anymore, at least from a parent perspective.
Well, prior to getting there, something you alluded to in there a little bit, I think, which is really, I think, unique to your story, to the Council Rock story, is that there was a point where, you know, you're in fall of 2020, winter of 2020, and all the districts are still mired in the very basic battle of how do we get the kids back into the school. You had, to my awareness, you took an approach of kind of going very bipartisan with that in a way that's pretty unique. And I commend you for that. But that looked like, correct me if I'm wrong, a new Facebook group that was started that was like kind of an amalgamation, like, okay, we're all going to come together, whatever we think about masks, whatever we think about all the other stuff, the distancing, the sports, blah, blah, blah. We're all going to come together because there's actually so many parents on both sides who want the kids in 5 full days a week.
Correct. So, you know, as this one page was starting and we were growing this back to school planning page, my neighbor and I were talking and we were very opposite politically, but very much the same in wanting our kids back in school 5 days. And as the summer started wearing on and we realized, okay, it's not going to be school as normal in the fall, she and I decided that we would start a new Facebook page. So again, keep in mind, I've just joined in May. Now I'm, you know, I'm moderator of 2 pages.
I love it.
Administering 3 pages, yeah. Right? I just, it was crazy to me. And we started a new page, bipartisan page called Council Rock, Call to Action, 5 days now. We were very motivated and wordy when we started
It's an awesome example of like these things need very direct, clear goals, accomplish that, and then move on. Mm-hmm. You know, don't get stuck in the mud or mired. The name, it makes it so clear, like, all right, if you want 5 days come mm-hmm. on in and we'll work it out. So how did you deal with then? I'm sure people tried to argue about all the other stuff, the mass, the sports, whatever.
Oh, yes. And we kept it very focused and we were very diligent about it. And we would kick people out if they couldn't stand by our guidelines. We were very clear. We had them posted at the top. We pinned to the top of the page. And, you know, our goal was, if you're not here to help get our kids back in school, then this is not the page for you. And she and I moderated that, I think, very well together. And that was really when a lot of advocacy started, when we started with writing campaigns on both pages. But really, we needed not just the community of people who thought alike, right, or who align the same way politically. We needed to get these kids back. And we said, we don't care. Mm. We don't care what you think. You know, if you go to church, where you go to church, where you eat dinner, you know, if the sky's blue or pink in your world, we want to get our kids and we need to be a united community. And for that length of time, getting those kids back in school, it was really a wonderful thing to see in the Council Rock community.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it now, like a great part of the story, not just because of the bipartisan aspect of it. And like, it takes a lot of leadership to bring people together and kind of force everyone to set aside other differences so that we can achieve a common goal. But then out of that, I feel like that, honestly, the whole 5-day marker, like when that happened, for me, that's kind of when Council Rock turns, because you know, they weren't the first district to get kids back in school,
no,
to go back to 5 days.
That was more
days.
Central Bucks, wasn't it? Or no, Penridge and Palisades really were.
Yeah, so Upper Bucks was mm-hmm. back Much quickly. Early. But you would see throughout spring, like once, to your point, Central Bucks and Council Rock started getting kids back in, it was like this boomerang. They just shot to the front of the line with all of a sudden, they're fighting for everything. By the end of the year, the masks were optional, which was crazy, like that school year.
June 4th,
yeah,
2021. Is when our school board voted to make masks optional. I'll never forget that day.
And that had to be pretty important to you just on a personal level, because you had mentioned your daughter, your younger started her mm-hmm. senior year then. So that had to change. What all did that affect? Like, I assume graduation, maybe prom.
Yeah. So they still weren't able to have prom because they wouldn't allow indoor events that size still. And Council Rock, for either North or South, either high school, they weren't allowing the proms like that they had sponsored. So for the second year, we had to have an offsite prom. And at least for North, some parents gave their land and got a tent. And the Chiron family, they were just so awesome to host a prom for the class of 2021. But going back to the summer of 2020, I looked at my younger daughter and I said, you know, if it's everything I can do, I'm going to do is to get you to where you can choose whether you want to wear a mask or not by the end of the school year. And that's going to be my goal and that I'm going to fight for. And on her very last day, I'm going to get choked up here, June 5th of 2021, she only had a half day. She didn't have a full day, but she didn't have to wear a mask that day. And that was her very last day. And it was just a nice little cherry on top to come full circle. But that was because parents fought for their kids. Parents came together community-wide to, and like I said, if it didn't start in the summer of 2020, we wouldn't have been where we were in 2021.
Well, from there, I think the story takes an interesting turn when it comes to, you know, your involvement, because that, so that's your youngest who had just graduated college.
My youngest.
I think a lot of folks would be like, okay, once their kids graduated, like, see ya, good luck, everybody. You know, I'm done here. But you would not only kind of stay involved, keep these groups going, keep this movement going when it comes to Council Rock, but leading into what turned out to be just the election, in my opinion, of the COVID story, more important than Trump versus Biden. It was these school board battles that really defined everything. You made a huge impact, and Council Rock kind of came out on top, right, for the most part with the election. So tell me what that's like then. That has to start, I assume, you know, spring or summer of 2021, when there's kind of like, you're probably recognizing that who the candidates are coming up. I don't know if you and your group kind of helped pick candidates or what that was all like.
Yeah. So this is going back to that whole grassroots concept. Nobody knew the process of getting school board members elected. And so we're like, oh, that happens next November, right? November of 2021. Well, no, I'm hearing you got to start. You have to get all your paperwork filled in, get on the ballot in March of 2021. Well, it's now, we're still fighting for kids to be in school 5 days. We're not close to that in November and December. I started calling around and realizing, okay, we have 4 school board positions that will be open. I mean, I know nothing, Josh. Like, I'm learning like where the regions are drawn and who lives where, because it's not like the voting districts. It's just a line, you know, by the board of elect, by the school district, right? So trying to find out and who would be here and where does this person live and could they run for school board? Is this person going to run again or is this person not? And, you know, what are we looking at? Will there be a challenge or anything? And so starting that really in December of 2020, believe it or not, just trying to understand what the process was and starting to ask other people, again, with this group, this community that we have built, people who had experience or knew other school board members in other districts. And so that's really how it started, and started contacting people in December and through January and February. One was already always going to run for reelection. That was Krista Marcel. And, but we needed, 3 others for, seats in, 2 in predominantly Northampton and then 1 for the Upper Makefield seat. And that really didn't come into play fully into all 4 of those positions with a candidate until February of, 2021, when everything, all the paperwork, and you have to get petitions signed and you can get Democrats to sign or Republicans to sign. This was all just happening real time for us at a massive pace to even meet the deadlines of the Board of Elections in March of 2021.
Yeah. And I mean, I can recall the only endorsements we've ever really made, like for Reopen Bucks, were the school board elections of 2021. I imagine, you know, by the time we're leading into the general election, first of all, there would be that August of 2021 craziness. So schools are kind of mired back in the fight, whereas we thought we might be out of it. But I assume that then end of summer, into the fall and leading into the election, your group is like a political campaign arm here of like the team reality candidates.
Yeah, really. I mean, that is when we were so cohesively aligned and just really had great community support for getting these 4 individuals elected, at least those who ended up being on the Republican ticket. And so Bob Hickey, Michael Roosevelt, Krista Marcel, and Kevin Gessner in Upper Makefield. And so we had boots on the ground. We really did. People calling, people emailing, people knocking on neighbors' doors, putting up signs, taking signs. It really, I mean, you talk about grassroots, that's all it was. And we really didn't know what we were doing. We were looking at the book that the Board of Elections gave us to make sure we were following the guidelines, because we didn't want to get a board member or a candidate disqualified, you know, and just learning as we go. And, you know, boy, did we meet people, and boy, did people come out of the woodwork and join our community. And, you know, people don't realize the power that school boards have, right? The school boards have the power to raise our taxes with a public vote by the board, but it doesn't ever have to go to the communities. They don't say yay or nay. You get to raise our taxes. I think last year was a little over 2%. You know, we don't get to say that. And then it compounds every year. Yeah. So, you know, are we getting the schools of excellence that we expect in Council Rock with these constant, continual, you know, tax increases? School boards have a direct reflection on that, you know, and if the quality of our school is going downhill, you know, we were looking at data that was showing we were not the Council Rock of 10 years before.
And when I think about Council Rock, I think they're probably a little bit more well-to-do school district. It encompasses all of Newtown. And so you would think that there is more of a like Democrat slant to it, but it's actually a pretty strongly Republican area. Like Northampton is kind of shockingly Republican to me for where it is in the county.
Correct. And I think that's an assumption that a lot of people have is Newtown and Upper Makefield, you know, where a lot of the big houses, the heavy taxes that people pay. But so much that I've grown to know and love about Council Rock is all of it, you know, Holland, Churchville, Ivyland, Richboro, all these different areas that give as much into the community, you know, as everybody does. And so what has just been so great to see is that it's not just Newtown, right? It's all of us working together. There are a lot of needy families. There are a lot of, we have now over 50 maybe Ukrainian refugee children in our school district. And you know, that's a powerful message of who we are. You know, we're not just the high income zip codes. We encompass all across the spectrum. And that's what I love about Council Rock.
Yeah. And so the kind of getting back to the story of like COVID and how COVID plays out in it is, again, you didn't necessarily know in, you know, summer of 2020, when you're kind of starting the advocacy here, what the makeup of the board would be like. But today I would say there's a pretty strong grip of control on the, you know, it's Republican, but I always look at it through the glasses of like it's team reality. It's always to me about like COVID yes, approach. Is that, you know, surprising? Should people expect that from an area like Council Rock?
I think I learned so much is that people want, they want a choice to be able to parent their kid as they want to parent. And that ended up falling along the lines of the school board directors that were elected who wanted that. And the ones that were already there that were not up for re-election will have a new election come next year in 2023. But that's really how it fell along the lines. Like you said, team reality. And, that was a massive push for the four seats that were up, at least on the Republican side of things, was to let parents have a choice and make the choice for their kids that was best for their kids and their family. And that's really how it fell out. So, you know, politically, everything became political, right? Everything.
It's kind of sad. Yeah.
It's really sad.
We're still stuck in that quite a bit.
I mean, it really wasn't like that so badly early on. Or at least we had a much more of an impetus for it not to be, because we were really pushing. And, but to be able to get three out of four of those board members elected, sadly, in Upper Makefield, Kevin Gessner lost by 60 votes. This is why every vote counts. Mm. He lost by 60 votes, and they had record number of people come out to vote for school board for any election. They were up like 20 and 30% normal primary numbers and general election. And then, you know, Mike Roosevelt and Bob Hickey won quite soundly their races, not by two votes, as some people have said, but by hundreds. And then Krista Marcel in the end won by one vote, right? One vote. And so, you know, coming back to your thought about how Newtown, you'd think it was Republican, Newtown really shifted in some of our voting districts this year to be more Democrat than had been in the past, or at least driving more Democrat voters out. So in that, that's what changed, at least in the Newtown region that I can say Krista Marcel was in. She won by one vote. And then, what was it, 2 months later in the recount, she won by actually seven votes with the recount. So that whole school board election was driven by the blood and guts of just many, many faithful parents and students. We had students knocking doors. We had students passing out flyers. We had them getting, they were yelled out at school and called names for aligning with certain, anything political, right? So a lot of brave kids out there.
Yeah. There's a silver lining in all of that too, that sometimes this stuff that really gets people involved the way that COVID has, there's a civics aspect to it, like an ability for kids to observe, even if it's just observing their parents being involved. And then at school board meetings, it's been a very common phenomenon that you see kids come up, usually high school kids, sometimes middle school kids. Usually I would say they're probably on the other side, like more often than not, because I feel like folks on our side or Team Reality or whatever probably try to just like shield their kids from it more so. Like, I want to fight my kids' battles, so to speak. But overall, anybody who's, you know, being pulled into this from a civics perspective and starting to learn how all of this works and the mechanisms, like you said, we as adults, you know, just learned it because of COVID. Basically, we had to learn it. So
yeah, and we started having hundreds of people. I mean, they had to cut people off of many meetings, and once we were able to go back and start giving public comment and attending school board meetings again. But you know, I will say resoundingly, the kids that were pro choice with whatever the options were, with masks, with vax, whatever was happening along that line, or just being in school, we had a lot of kids more so speak up for choice than ever on the other side, which was, I mean, I cried many a time listening to these kids, because they would talk about what they were going through. And, you know, that's who was being affected.
Yeah,
you know, of course, the teachers, the administration, of course, but it's got to be about the kids. And it was not about the kids for so long for certain reasons. Obviously, we understand why at first, but it just took so long to get back to being about the kids, you know, and about, you know, Council Rock, students first. You know, that's what we were going for all along, students first. It's all about the kids.
Yeah, nobody can describe that experience, I think, better than you, having, oh my gosh, I still can't even, you have kids in both of the years that were like majorly affected by it. That's just,
yeah, we had the bookends of the two horrible years, and gosh, you know, we cried a lot. We cried a lot. It was very hard. And, you know, I always hear people say, oh, but they're so resilient. And I'm like, oh, that's not how I wanted to learn resiliency.
I hated that term, yeah.
Right? It's not how.
Not the right time to say folks.
Not, and they got really tired of hearing that, yeah. Right? They're like, what else are you going to take from us? I mean, think about it. Like, everybody, they make movies about high school graduations and parties and college and all this and proms and all this. Well, my class of 2020 daughter never got any of that, right? They'll never be able to understand graduation, prom. Not every school gets to do senior trip, but Council Rock does, you know, not getting to have that. And then to get to have to watch their younger siblings, if they came up the next year, getting to have it, you know. So, you know, it was a tough time, but I can speak for my girls. They're now flourishing in college. They both went to college in the South. They chose warmer weather,
interesting,
where they could be outside
more. So I was going to ask, is that weather or is that COVID? They wanted to go somewhere where they could party and have a college life, right?
Well, they didn't bring it up to me about partying, but we know they are. But it was that they could have a better quality of life because they could be outside more in the South. Yeah. So regardless of what the mask mandates were, because, you know, they were pretty strict the fall of 2020. I mean, my daughter spent the first 6 weeks of school pretty much locked in her dorm room. Had to do rush online virtually. I mean, how do you get a sorority house picture?
That's hilarious.
Rush online for 9 days straight. I mean, so, you know, it really was quality of life played a lot into that. And the South was becoming more open than it was clear we were going to be.
And now, like we talked about before, I mean, you're still very heavily involved. You're very clearly a leader, a community leader in Council Rock, fighting the good fight. We're approaching the end of the third school year that's affected by this, and your kids are off to college. So as this school year wraps up, what do you see in the future for you with Council Rock? Like, are you going to maintain the group, the movement, kind of keep, you know, keep eyes on and stay involved in the community?
Well, I still think we need to have an outlet for these, all these parents that have come together. We have built close-knit relationships. I mean, we're going to each other's kids' birthday parties and graduations and, you know, having dinners and backyard barbecues. And we would have not even known each other. Like, I didn't know, you know, somebody's third grade child at Hillcrest Elementary. You know, I didn't know that family. And now I do. Right now, it's amazing. And so we have to continue an outlet and stay aware of what's really going on in our schools. I think if anything COVID has taught us, and you've heard about it in all these podcasts, is parents woke up and we started realizing, understanding what curriculum was coming in our schools, what was being taught, what was being said. And so parents are awake, and we have to stay awake. I now approach the school community as a community member, right? So I'm now a taxpayer. So my voice is now to build up others in our community. I don't know about all school districts, but in Council Rock, 75% of all taxpayers don't have a kid or a grandkid in school. So how to make sure that the larger community is aware that what goes on in our schools matters and how it affects you, how it affects your home value, how it affects your tax increases and all this, so a lot of education. So
there's even, I think, a bigger conversation still to be had that's out there, which I think is, you know, if you have people from New York or Philly who want to move to Bucks and they're very liberal and they want COVID mitigation, they're probably going to move to Pennsbury. If you have people who are moving in from some of those places because they want to get away from it and they're going to bring more red voting politics with them, they're going to go to places like Central Bucks or Council Rock. I think that those shifts that have happened because of the school board directors who took their stands and made the fights here, whatever side they were on and whichever way the districts went, these are going to cause pretty significant changes in the communities, because how could you, you know, the COVID policy is such a defining feature when people are looking at the schools right now.
And when we were door knocking for school board elections, one thing we found out is that the voter rolls are very out to date. A lot of people didn't even live, you know, where the Board of Elections had said, you know, hadn't lived there for 2 years even prior. This is 2021. The voter rolls were 2020, right? So we just had a major general election, and already in 2021, so much of it was wrong. And we had people flat out asking, where does this school board candidate, where do they stand on masks, on vax, on being in school, on hybrid distance learning? Across the board. Those are the questions that everybody wanted to know. And so a lot of people had moved in from New York, at least into Upper Makefield and other parts of Newtown, that we were seeing a lot of New Yorkers coming
down.
Oh,
that would make sense. You guys absorb a lot of them because of the proximity factor.
Correct. A lot New Jersey and a lot New York, because they could come and have their kids in quality schools and have a much lower, you know, tax. And a lot of people are fleeing the city, fleeing New York.
People always talk about it right now. It's a very big talking point. You know, the how much California and New York lost, how much Florida picked up. But I think even at a more local level, it's like how many moved from Montgomery County to Bucks, or from Philly to Bucks, or just across the river in New Jersey to Bucks. Bucks definitely picked up a lot. And I think a lot of these school districts, you know, which are not known for being like the hard red areas like Penridge maybe or whatever, again, it's got to have a long-term effect on the community. Just what you're picking up, there's different culture coming in with all these new people. So,
well, and what was affected when we weren't in school is a lot of the private schools were open, right? And so like, I know St. Andrew's specifically, a lot of the Catholic schools in and around the district, and cyber charters. We just had people, you know, in droves because they wanted their kids in school, and or it wasn't safe, or they didn't want their kids in school and wanted one of the cyber charter options. So, you know, there was a lot of influx there back and forth for the 2 years. And I remember in June of last year, so look, we're right at just a year, right? Almost to the day. June 5th, when we went into masks optional last year, I can't tell you how many parents that when they voted June 4th, the night of the school board meeting, when they voted masks optional starting June 5th, I heard from people in droves that they pulled their kids out of cyber charter, or they pulled their kids out of private school or Catholic school for the next school year because they had voted on, you know, that was where it was going from there for the fall.
It was a massive, I think a lot of folks, it's easy to say, especially if you're on the other side, the argument was, why does this matter? It's the last few days or it's the last week. it's about making a statement of where we're going. And it definitely cut a hard line, because you saw the districts that cut that hard line, they were the districts that led when the fight got even harder in August and September, just a few months
and,
later.
You know, this had a lot to do with parents and talking with and knowing our board members and advocating in the community and building consensus and writing in a lot of heartfelt letters written to the board. You know, a lot of this was done around, why would we wait until August or September to build this consensus? We have the consensus now. Let's bring it and let's have it in now. And like I said, selfishly, you know, I was pushing hard on my own side because I wanted my daughter to have a day of school where she got maths optional, and she did for a few hours there. But you know, it wasn't without, wouldn't have happened without very brave school board members, and it wouldn't happen without this amazing Council Rock community that I'm so proud to be a part of.
Yeah. There's one really good individual's story that's a part of that broader story that I feel like I have to mention in the Council Rock context. And that's to get over that hump and get the 5 votes. I think it was 5 votes to go optional. It, to my mind, was really Kristen Marcel that came along. You know, she represents one of these people who wasn't like a diehard cutthroat team reality, we hate Fauci type of person. Not at all. She was incredibly moderate and measured. Once that vote happened and, you know, she had said, okay, it's time, you would go into the next school year, the August, the September stuff. And she was just locked on, ready to go, ready to approach all of those. And the reason I bring that up is you already mentioned, you know, she won by one vote. There's like a lot of just smiles come to mind when you think of the race and how all that went. Well, now she's going to be a state representative.
That's right.
Like,
that's
how cool
hope.
Is
that's
that?
Right.
Just the whole story going from, you know, somebody who, again, is not, they're not out there like arguing about people with, I'm not going to wear a mask, you can't, my freedom, blah, blah, blah. She was not that at all. But eventually, you know, just did things the right way, saw things eventually for what they were, and made strong stands. And now she's going to be a state representative.
She took a lot of hits. She took a lot of hits by trying to toe that more moderate line, trying to give here and there to make concessions, and really did hurt her. It cost her some votes in the end, but she was brave, right? And she did it, and she came back from that. And I mean, so we get her running for state representative. What is that? 178th, right? Mm-hmm. The newly redistricted 178th.
And it's hard red. So pretty much it's going to happen.
Hopefully.
At this
point. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're all hoping. We've got parents who weren't even involved in the political process now, Council Rock parents that are on committees, you know, got parents on the local GOP committees. You know, we've got parents now running. We've got for 2023, we've got 6 seats, because if Kristen wins, she will no longer be on the board. So we typically have, again, what I learned, right? The grassroots here. We have 4 board members up, and then 2 years later, it's 5 board members, so that we never have all of them go at one time. So in 2023 now, we would have 5 up for election. Well, now we're going to have 6, because hopefully Kristen will win the 178th. 6 out of 9. That's massive.
That's a big vote.
Can flip a board one way or the other. And so already starting, you know, to think about, and, you know, I lean heavily on certain people, and you know who you are listening to my voice, really hoping that they'll come alongside and run and serve our community, because they have been amazing for these last 2 years. Amazing. I mean, I am here telling my story, Josh, but it's not my story. You know, this is the story of thousands of parents. This is the story of millions of parents across the country. You know, like, we would hear things about Loudoun County, Virginia, and all these things. People were fighting for this and that. We're like, heck, we've been doing that here longer here, or longer term, you know, because it has been longer for us up here, as this bastion of, you know, keeping schools shut down and keeping constantly moving back and forth between virtual and this here, and changing from one day to the next. And, you know, we have run the gamut, haven't we?
I know. We've come a very long way.
It's so neat to get to talk about this, but, you know, Josh, it wasn't me. It was all of us together. You know, it really was. It was Reopen Bucks giving us a place to come, to talk to share our stories, to lament, to cry, to do whatever we needed to do, and then to go take action in our local communities. And, you know, for that, as a Council Rock parent, I think I speak for thousands to say thank you to you and to Kiri and to the admin of Reopen Bucks that really just kept so many sane for these last 2 years. And, we'll never forget what you've done for us.
Yeah. Well, right back at you. Very much appreciated. I'll say that, you know, summer of 2020, when we started looking at school districts, and again, being Reopen Bucks, we're trying to look at kind of a big picture, like, okay, what districts are what and how can we help here? What can we do? I don't know if it was over my head or if I didn't know anything about Council Rock, but I would not have plucked Council Rock to be at the absolute tip of the spear the whole way. And it has been. It's been an amazing, amazing outcome, what's been done there. So a lot of that does go up to leadership and to you and what you've been able to do, kind of bringing the community together like you talked about. So very much appreciated. Glad I got to know you through this whole experience. And hopefully when it comes to, you know, that race for 6 seats and everything that's going to happen with Council Rock in the future, hopefully you do stay involved and that you're a part of that equation.
Yeah, I hope to be. I'm too invested now to stop.
Good.
You know? Good. And we're building consensus in the community and building community. That's what it comes down to. But Josh, it's all about these kids. It's Council Rock. You know, it's students first always, right? Yeah. That's what it is.
Love it. Well, excellent story, Council Rock. Thanks for sharing everything. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Josh. Glad to be here.
See you.